Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony, John Lester bought $47,000 worth of beer for Cubs fans. What are you doing for our fans?
I'm Tony Kornheiser, the same thing. Get a pen, everybody. Here's Wilbon's credit card
number. Hey, we're not going there. John
that
Lester.
That is a great gesture.
Nice gesture.
A great gesture
part.
By
Big
John
tip.
Lester.
Left like a 34% tip, I'm told, because he was 34. That's a nice parting gift, because he's gone.
I understand, but I think that's a great way to go out to thank everybody like
it
that.
It is. Won a World Series, buy some beer.
Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Patriots are fading, the Vikings upset the Packers, and Javon Wims vigorously defends his mouthpiece. But we begin today with the Pittsburgh Steelers establishing themselves as the number one team in the NFL by beating the Baltimore Ravens 28-24. In successive weeks, the Steelers have gone on the road to Tennessee and to Baltimore and won. Wilbon, is the bigger story the Steelers remaining unbeaten, or the Ravens coming up short in another big game?
The Steelers, Tony, we can get to the Ravens coming up short. I understand that. But they didn't come up short against some chump, some homecoming opponent. The Pittsburgh Steelers, in successive weeks, as you said, I mean, the Tennessee Titans and the Baltimore Ravens at, and they won these
That's
games.
Right.
I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs, fine. They're defending champions. They'll have the rest of the fall to work their way into defense of that championship in the winter, presumably. But right now, if we were doing the Wilbon Power Index? Steelers won, Tony. I mean, at this point, Kansas City hasn't had victories as impressive as what the Steelers have done back-to-back. I don't need any stats. I don't need to go into any esoteric junk. They beat two teams who are a threat themselves to win the Super Bowl. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers.
So I think that Kansas City is probably a better team than Pittsburgh, but I concede this point. Pittsburgh has established itself as the number one team. They picked up Claypool. Ben is back. They look really good. Where you and I disagree is I think that the story here is Baltimore. And I think it might be specifically Lamar Jackson, who is the reigning MVP and justifiably so. But he coughed it up four times.
Yep.
He had two picks, one in the first series, which was a pick six. Two fumbles, one very late in the game. If you look at what has happened in critical games for Lamar Jackson, it has not been good. He's lost two straight playoff games, one to Tennessee, one to the Chargers, in which he had a total of five turnovers, Mike, and only 29 points for what was the NFL's number one offense. And this year, the losses are to good teams.
Yes, they
Kansas
are.
Kansas City and Pittsburgh. They're good teams, but you got to beat the good teams to become a champion. So I don't want to dwell on it, but to me, that stands out.
It stands out, but it's the number two story from that game. I mean, the number one story, Tony, you've got this team that understands how to, organization understands how to build a team, which they have redone around the quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger. I don't care that he's 38. He looks like Big Ben to me. They have a coach, Mike Tomlin, who I know you love, and those players love playing for him. He leads them. So the Steelers are in this position. Even if we fast forwarded and said, if they played tomorrow, who would you take, the Steelers or Kansas City? I know who Vegas would take. I know who you would take. I know all the people who are obsessed with offense would take. I'd be okay taking the Steelers. I really would.
I will say this about the Steelers, and they've had a rough go so far, and they've been admirable. The next three games look like a buffet line.
They do.
The next three games are the Cowboys, the Bengals, and the Jaguars.
You can slip up.
Now, they do get the Ravens again on Thanksgiving night.
Yeah.
That is a game we all want to watch.
And the Bengals are getting better, Tony, and they are a rival.
They're better.
Patriots missed a big chance to probably save their season. With just 31 seconds left, Cam Newton fumbled away the game on Buffalo's 11-yard line, dropping New England to 2-5. The Bills had lost 35 of their previous 39 games to Bill Belichick and the Patriots. That's domination, Holmes. Tone, does this feel like the dying of a dynasty to you?
So right now, today, it feels like the dying of a dynasty to me, okay? Because Cam Newton fumbles late and they lose the game, and Tom Brady will be on television tonight against the Giants, a team he figures to dominate.
51-7 but, or something
and here's,
like that.
Here's the but. Cam Newton was going in. They were going to win. Cam Newton was running it, and he was going in for the winning score. And if Tom Brady tonight looked like a 43-year-old, we would not be having this conversation. As you say, Buffalo is a team that New England has dominated. It's not just 35-4, whatever that is. That Buffalo is 2-18 in Orchard Park in their last 20. I mean, that's at home. So you're supposed to win that game if you are New England. And New England's problem is pretty obvious. They don't have any speed. They can't get downfield in a hurry. They don't have an offense because Cam's not accurate anymore.
No, he's not, Tony. That's what's sort of alarming to me watching yesterday again, is that there are some things Cam Newton can still do, and you can still see the competitiveness, and he's ready to battle you and do all those things. But it seems like we've seen this with a lot of quarterbacks. We talk about Andrew Luck. We've seen guys who physically get diminished because they've taken so much punishment, hurt over the years, and Cam Newton seems to be in that place. And also, Tony, look, New England, they lost people who opted out, you know, late in the season, August. They got lots of money. They got lots of know-how. I am not ready to say this is the dying of a dynasty just yet. I mean, are we going to say it's the dying of a dynasty, even though it's less dynastic, at Golden State? Or do we think with good health and sort of a cupboard that's full again, like New England seems to be able to do, that they could be back in the mix? I think the Patriots could do a similar thing next year.
This is a very fair point, I believe. I don't think you talk about the dying of a dynasty with a single snapshot in a single season. This may be a punt year, you know, that they're not going to be able to do anything. But if they go get a quarterback, if they go get a wide receiver, it's not like Bill Belichick has forgotten how to coach.
That's right.
I mean, that hasn't happened. So they could rebuild. Could they be dynastic? I don't know about
that.
But rebuild, sure, they could rebuild. Just a few days after you, Michael Wilbon, said Aaron Rodgers was praising Mike Zimmer because Zimmer was, and I quote you, a pigeon.
Did I say that?
Zimmer held Rodgers to 22 points and one win. Minnesota beat one loss Green Bay in Green Bay, 28-22. Rodgers had fine numbers, but Wilbon, does this loss shake your faith in Green Bay?
Yeah, a little bit, Tony. This isn't a loss that should happen that way. You know, that's the game with the Bears playing a late game I concentrated on early to see what the Packers were going to be, if Rodgers was going to look like the Aaron Rodgers we expect him to, was Minnesota going to remain a doormat or get off the floor a little bit. And so, you know, now, you know, Minnesota seems to have stepped it up some, Tony. How long will they do this? I don't know. But to lose that game in Lambeau, I don't care if fans are not. Just to be in that place and have snow falling in Lambeau on a dome team like the hated Minnesota Vikings, if you're Green Bay, that was a surprise to me and I think a bad loss, yes.
I think it's possible that we tend to overrate this particular division. Your team, Chicago, doesn't look like a 5-2 team, which they were Sunday morning.
They're not now anyway.
Right. Detroit, you can't ever trust. Those fabulous numbers that Matthew Stafford puts up, they are in essence empty numbers. Minnesota is better than the record that they walked into that game with.
They are.
But they lost to four good teams. And this is the same point I would make about Baltimore. If you get beat by good teams, you can't win. You got to beat some good teams on your own. So winning in that division may not be, you know, that big a deal at some point. I want to bring Green Bay back into this because they've got a really important game Thursday night. That's at San Francisco. Garoppolo's out for a lot of weeks. George Kittle, who they cart off or walk off all the time.
Six weeks and eight weeks respectively.
They got to win that game. Green Bay's got to win that game, don't you think?
No. No, the Bears have the Titans. And then the Bears have an improved Vikings team. So, no, the Bears are probably going to lose a couple of more games while they're figuring out what the hell to do, if they can even figure it out. And so the Packers are going to stay atop that division, even if they lose Thursday night. No, Tony, I will say this. That division is not terrible. It's not the NFC East, your division.
Oh, no.
Isn't great. And the teams are closer than the beginning, the first 5 weeks might have suggested. So, no, Green Bay's not in the must-win situation. And you know what? The Packers and Aaron Rodgers are still going to wind up winning that division, probably going away, and they're going to be just fine.
We all root for Rodgers all the time. We love Aaron Rodgers.
We do.
I don't think they're as good as Seattle. I watched them not be as good as Tampa Bay.
They're not as good as Seattle.
And down the road, if Philadelphia and Arizona get hot,
Philadelphia,
they're in that mix. Let's take a break. Coming up, was Tua's first win a performance worth celebrating?
And what's the word for Javon Wims's unbelievably stupid decision to throw hands? Stupid.
So are you saying stupid?
Stupid.
Is stupid your word?
Stupid.
Yeah, I just want to make sure. Mm-hmm.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Time to find out what lurks in the mouth of the mailbox. I will get the first one.
Mail time. Why is the mailbox in the attic as opposed to the studio? I don't understand.
Because I brought it with me. How much credit does Tua deserve for his first win?
None. It's okay. It's all right. I mean, people talk about team victories. This is a team victory, as in the other part of the team. The defense specifically. Tua didn't even throw 400 yards yesterday. It doesn't matter. It was his first start. He got away with it. He'll remember it. The defense forced the Rams into four turnovers. The Rams gained so many yards and had nothing to show for it in terms of winning a football game. The answer is nothing. He had nothing to do with this win. It was all defense for Miami.
No disagreement with that at all. The statistic that jumps out is the Rams outgained Miami 471 to 145, which is an amazing disparity. It's the largest differential all year, and they lost. So if I said that Lamar Jackson coughed it up four times, Jared Goff coughed it up four times as well. Now, that doesn't help you at all. In terms of Tua, Ryan Fitzpatrick would have gained more yards than him, but he won. Okay, he's in there and he won.
I don't understand, Tony, though. I don't understand why the Miami Dolphins. What do you want to do? You want to prove your organization looks good? Or you want to win the games? I mean, I don't know that Tua's ready to win the games, contribute directly to win the games. When Ryan Fitzpatrick was doing that with a defense that seems like it can win games because it won one yesterday over a playoff team. I don't get what Miami's doing, but they got away with it at least for yesterday. We'll see going forward.
How do you explain the Titans getting beat by the Bengals?
Well, Tony, I mean, I thought the Titans had a letdown. In my pool that I play every week for 10 years, I sat there and pondered over this game, and the Bengals were playing at home, and the Bengals have looked better, and Joe Burrow's getting better and better, even though he didn't have much to work with. And I said, and Tennessee's going to have a letdown. It's just natural with the schedule they're playing. So I think it's that, the letdown, and also Joe Burrow, and you know because we talked yesterday, Joe Burrow's getting better and better as you think you expect the number one overall pick to do.
I think Justin Herbert's very good.
Yeah.
I think Joe Burrow is better. On my eye test, he's better. If you protect him, and they protected him, he wasn't sacked at all. He had 249 yards. He had two touchdowns. He had no picks. At this point, you look at Cincinnati, and the record is no good. I think it's 2-5-1. Four of those losses, Mike, are by three, by four, by five, and by three.
Yeah.
And so if you give Burrow a shot, he keeps you in the game. If you can protect him, it's good. And on a related note, what happened to LSU? You talk about capsizing. LSU without Burrow and all those other players.
They got like 20 dudes playing on Sunday, Tone. They got no squad.
What happened there?
They got to retool, reload, as they say in the Southeastern Conference.
All right, here we go. Coach Matt Nagy, your boy, I add parenthetically, called Javon Wims' punches, quote, completely unacceptable. What would you call them?
I call them cuttable. Get out. Javon Wims, a marginal player, he goes out there and does this. When your team is in a tight game and you do this on your home field, get out. Okay, now let's get away from that and talk about other things that should consume Coach Nagy more than Javon Wims. And it is the fact that he's playing the wrong quarterback. We've seen enough of Foles now. He's thrown at least seven picks, Tony. He's got to protect the ball. That's what Foles is supposed to do. So Trubisky ought to be back out there. I was glad to hear all the analysts say that this morning. Looking at this game, I tweeted in live time yesterday, it's time for Mitch. It is time for Mitch. They've got to figure out how to coach him up. He can move. He can make plays. Foles can't do any of those things. And Foles can't even protect the ball. What's the point? We've seen enough of Foles at this point. Go back to Trubisky, except Matt Nagy doesn't want to coach him.
You stole my word. Right here, it's circled. It's cuttable. He's got five catches this year.
Get off of that.
He punched a guy in the head.
He's unimportant.
It's not unimportant.
Because
he punched a guy in the head not once. He punched him twice in case you didn't see it the first time.
In a helmet.
He punched him
in
again.
In a helmet.
Now, he claims that the other guy spit on him and ripped out his mouthpiece. If that's true and he's an instigator, he won. He won because he got you
and
to behave
two games,
in an absolutely crazy way.
Two games.
You can't do that. This could become a Myles Garrett situation as there's claims and counterclaims and stuff like that.
You know,
by the way, Troy Aikman killed your team on the air.
You just spent 20 seconds talking about Javon Wims. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Huh? That's
bad
judgment.
Well, I'm answering the question.
That's Nagy-like judgment on your part.
The question wasn't about Foles
and Nagy. I don't care what the question is.
It was about Javon Wims.
You know what the question is.
Enough email. Let's take one last break, but still to come. Clemson beat BC without Trevor Lawrence. Ooh. But how will it handle Notre Dame?
Crush Notre Dame. Was the Eagles win over the lowly Cowboys something that Tony is right to praise? When you called me about the Bears yesterday, we talked 20 minutes. Did you mention Javon Wims?
No, but I don't think he had punched the guy twice at that
it
point.
It didn't matter.
Twice?
How many times did Troy Aikman punch Nagy during the broadcast?
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Happy time, people. Happy 78th birthday, Ron Reed, one of only 13 men to play in both the NBA and Major League Baseball. After averaging 14 rebounds a game with Notre Dame, the 6'6 Reed played two seasons for the Detroit Pistons and then chose pitching. He was an All-Star in 1968 with the Braves, won a World Series in 1980 with the Phillies. Reed is one of only five pitchers ever with 100 wins, 100 saves, and 50 complete games. He was 146 and 140 in his career with 103 saves. The most famous of the other 12 men to play basketball and baseball are Danny Ainge, Reed's teammate and coach on the Pistons, Dave DeBuscher, Dick Groat, an eight-time All-Star shortstop with the Pittsburgh Pirates, and Chuck Connors, who ditched sports altogether and went on to a TV career with the Riflemen.
Tone, Jim Brown and Chuck Connors, the most famous guys who could have just kept playing, but said, no, I'll make more money on the little screen or the big screen, right? Those are the guys.
Yes, yes.
I just watched The Rifleman today. I watched the episode of The Rifleman. Chuck Connors, former Cubby.
Happy anniversary, Byron Leftwich. On this day 18 years ago, your lineman at Marshall carried you to the line of scrimmage so you could continue to play on a broken shin in a loss to Akron. Leftwich, a native Washingtonian, went number 7 overall in the draft to Jacksonville, where he had 44 of his 50 career starts. Leftwich played 9 seasons in the NFL for Jacksonville, Pittsburgh, Atlanta, and Tampa Bay. He was 24-26 as a starter. He threw 58 touchdowns and 42 interceptions in his career. He is now the offensive coordinator at Tampa Bay, where his quarterback, Tom Brady, is older than he is. 18 years ago, when Leftwich was at Marshall, Brady was in the NFL, and he still is, as you will see tonight.
Tony, you know, he told a story on this show, and you were shocked to hear it. I spoke to Byron Leftwich's class. He was in 7th or 8th grade. At the end of it, he says, Mr. Wilbon, you're going to be writing about me one day. Huh, son? Yeah, I play football. I play quarterback. You're going to write about me one day. And I happily did. Love Byron Leftwich.
Happy trails to the Notre Dame game for Trevor Lawrence. The Clemson quarterback, who tested positive for coronavirus and missed the Boston College game, will also miss next Saturday's game against number 4 Notre Dame. Once again, DJ Uiagalelei, how's that, will start for number 1 Clemson. Uiagalelei went 30 for 41 for 342 yards and 2 touchdowns in Clemson's comeback victory over BC. Dabo Swinney is planning for Lawrence to be on the sideline in South Bend, helping as he can. Some streaks will be on the line. Clemson has won 36 consecutive regular season games and 14 straight on the road. Notre Dame has won 22 straight home games. The last time Notre Dame hosted a number one team was the USC team of Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush, and that was the famous Bush push game.
I was at that game, Tony. And let me just say, there's no place better in America to watch a game than Notre Dame Stadium. No place. And I know, as a kid who grew up 92 miles away from that stadium, I probably should root for Notre Dame, but I can't. I cannot bring myself to do it. And I think Clemson's going to crush Notre Dame with or without their overall future number one pick at quarterback.
Let me go to that verb again. You think crush? You think crush?
I think it's going to be a 14-point or more game ultimately. I do. I think Clemson's that good. And they've been tested. They got tested this past week, Tony. They did.
Let's go to the big finish. The Eagles beat the Cowboys last night. You think that's a big deal, don't you?
No. Ian Rappaport says the Washington football team is open to trading Dwayne Haskins. We've been hearing that around here, haven't we?
Yeah, I read it in the Washington Post today. I think it's true. I don't think Ron Rivera wants him, right?
It doesn't look like he wants him.
No. The Colts are 5-2. Are you impressed?
They get the Ravens on Sunday. Look, I saw them against the Bears. They beat the Bears. It wasn't close. That defense is really good and underrated. Giancarlo Stanton opted in to the last 7 years, and $218 million of his Yankee deal. Is that a good call?
It's a good call for him. Ask the Yankees if they're crazy about it. He's played about 10 games in the last 2 years. I mean, if he's healthy, they want him, but he hasn't been healthy at all. Last one, the Sixers extended Elton Brand's contract. Are you surprised with that?
No, Tony. He wasn't the president or the organization's GM. Most teams now have a president and director of basketball ops and a GM. Daryl Morey's going to be there. They're going to be fine.
Out of time. Trying to do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
And I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. Now to get you set for Monday Night Football. Here's Susie Colbert.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.